The man said, "Don't let your heart be troubled." And today we're going way beyond just being untroubled. That's freedom from a negative. How do you make your heart the safest place on earth? And this can happen, although, of course, we're not actually the ones that make it so. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 14, starting with verse 20. He's talking about when he returns in his resurrection, and then he will return in Pentecost. He comes to us many, many times. On that day, now for you, that's today, right now, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Like a glass that's in the ocean, and the water fills up the glass, but then the water also surrounds the glass. Jesus says somehow it will be that way with us and him. And that's primarily in our minds now, in our hearts. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, it says in the text, duh, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Now, the disciples are always wanting Jesus to show himself to the world so that their problems will clear up and everybody will know and they will have lots of status and safety, but that's not the plan. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." And then this remarkable statement, "My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Now, earlier in this real famous passage, John 14, Jesus says that he is going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house and then come back so that we could be at home with him. And now that home starts right here, right now. So what does that look like? If you've been with us through this soul series, you started, perhaps, by taking what's called the brief serenity scale. And the folks that worked on that identified three different factors when they factor analyzed this notion of serenity. One of them was the ability to accept whatever circumstance I find myself in. And then second one was the ability not to be captured by desire. But the third one is what we're talking about today. It's the creation of an inner haven. It's the ability to find peace and serenity within oneself, whatever is going on beyond, outside of oneself. It's to cultivate what is sometimes known as a refuge of tranquility. Little acronym that will help you remember this. ROT. You want ROT deep within. That's not deterioration. That's a refuge of tranquility. And that's what Jesus is talking about when he speaks of home. Home is a place where we are safe, where it is free to be ourselves. And he says that he and the Father will actually make their home. They will make themselves at home within us, and then we will carry that home. People will talk about wanting to have a safe place, but of course, this world is not a safe place. But to have God at home in me, and for me to be at home in my Father's world, that's ultimate safety, and that's the invitation here. So that's the inner haven. Today we're talking about pursuing a life that is rooted in the inner haven. I want to take a few moments for you to begin to practice that right now. So I want you, now we're going beyond just thinking about this, to actually experiencing it. So as best you can in your own mind, now you think about, imagine hearing those words of Jesus. Jesus saying to you, "My Father and I will love you, and we have come to you, and we have made our home in you." So now shift into that inner haven. Be aware of what's going on in the world and whatever problems are facing in your life, but let go of them right now. Take a deep breath. We do this with our bodies. Our bodies and our minds are deeply connected. And one of the big problems is we have secularized. We have taken God out of creation and out of our bodies. And of course, that's not the picture the scriptures give us. Jack Levison writes about how spirit and breath are not only the same word, he actually hyphenates them. So when we breathe, we are receiving life from spirit breath. And I think that's part of why focus on the breath can be so powerful, because it's not just secular, it's not just molecules, it is the breath of God coming into your body right now. And as your body is at home with God, just let it find relaxation in your jaws. Let the tension go. Your forehead, your eyes, your shoulders. Oh, man, we carry the burden on our shoulders as though we were an atlas. No, no, no. Jesus carries that burden. This is part of offering our body as a living sacrifice. And now in this moment, I am at home. And Jesus and his Father are at home with me through the Spirit in my heart. And this is a physical as well as a spiritual reality. A wonderful picture of this friend of mine named Doug years ago said that his little daughter once told him, I can tell that Jesus lives in my heart because when I put my hand over it, I can feel him walking around in there. And you might put your hand over your heart right now and just recognize that, although that can be kind of a sentimental, childlike story, it's actually much closer to the truth than thinking of my heart as just a bunch of molecules and tissue. That it is a gift from God, and God is at work keeping me alive from one heartbeat to the next. He's walking around in there. And then I want to welcome him into my life. So I'll give you one more picture of what's happening now in a heart that becomes an inner haven. And this is from a psychologist, a good friend, Neil Warren, who wrote a book called Finding Contentment some time ago. It really is about how to live as a person of authentic integrity and spiritual life and health. He writes, I want to develop a picture for you that has grown out of thousands and thousands of conversations I've had with individuals hungry for peace, for life, for contentment. Imagine at the center of your life, of your body, of your brain, there is a control booth. It is a round room with glass windows encircling it. Available to you in this room are several phones, fax machines, satellite hookups, state-of-the-art computers, internet access, teleconferencing equipment. Your challenge while standing at the center of this room is to make good choices. In the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is the ability to make good choices. And of course, we do that when our will becomes aligned with our Heavenly Father, Jesus, all through John 14 and 15. Obey my commands. That is, align our wills up with God. So this is what we do in the inner haven. To make choices effectively, you will need open communication lines between you and your control booth and all the important data sources. These include all your feelings and relevant thoughts, all the wisdom you've gleaned from past successes and failures. So I'm fully alive to my internal past. And then the feedback from significant people in your life. Information about important cultural guidelines. Facts from experts. So these are external data sources. And you think about a decision you need to make today, is a problem that you need to solve today. Be aware of wisdom. Be aware of what people close to you think. But now they don't get to be in your control room. You gently, lovingly say, now you, whoever it is, spouse, boss, mom, dad, you're not allowed in my control room. This is your little kingdom. You love them, but they don't get to call those shots. You have a will. And then Neil says, directions based on your spiritual faith and convictions, and the idea there is now God is with you in the control room. And you say, your will be done, your will be done. And from one moment to the next, in this very troubled world, I allow Jesus, through his Spirit, his Father, to be at home, to make their home in me. And I walk with them through each situation in the day and each decision that I have to make during the day. I'll mention one other gift here, and I need to go to the overhead cam. So this is from a psychologist named Lazarus, interestingly enough, Richard Lazarus. He talks about how it's never just our situations that determine our life, but we appraise, we interpret. And he says we have a primary appraisal of the situations in our life, and this is mostly external. What are the threats? What's coming at me? What are the difficulties? What are the challenges? Interestingly, just the external sides never fully determine my response to them. Stephen Hawking who contracted ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, said, "In some ways, I'm quite fortunate because my brain, the one thing I most need, has been left intact." And of course, Lou Gehrig himself, you might remember, said, "Some people think I got a bad break. I consider myself the luckiest man." On the other hand, with appraisal, good things can happen. Leo Tolstoy talks about that in his Confessions. He's got wealth, luxury, fame, and was driven to the point of suicide because he did not know what to do with his life. He had no inner haven. And that's the secondary appraisal, Lazarus says. The secondary appraisal is, what do I bring to this particular situation? What are the inner resources that I have or that I'm able to access? What's my ability to deal with it? What's my responsibility to be able to deal with it? And it's that one, it's that secondary appraisal where Jesus is inviting us now into a world where you will have trouble. Each day has trouble enough of its own, he says in the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, here in these words to John 14, he's talking about the most troubling day in all of human history when he is about to die. But he says, actually, my home is in you and you can walk through this together. And the Apostle Paul sees this. When Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says, "I'm not saying what I'm saying because I'm in need. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need and to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in every and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength." That's the secondary appraisal. Whatever I'm facing, starvation. In fact, in his letter to Colossians, Chapter 4, verse 2, "Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it boldly." Now, what's his primary appraisal? What's his situation? He's in chains. What does he not ask for? He doesn't say, "Pray that I can get out of these chains." No, Paul. I'm quite content in these chains. I can handle these chains because in the midst of them, I'm experiencing this enormous freedom and untroubled heart because Jesus is right there with me. The Father is right there with me. The Spirit is guiding me. Pray not that I get out of these chains, but that I speak with great boldness the very message that has gotten me into the chains. That is an inner haven. That is an untroubled heart. Man, I'd like that. Let's keep going.
Hey, before you click off, be sure to hit that subscribe button here, and that will help us reach more people with our channel. You can also visit becomeanew.com, where you might want to subscribe to our email or text. It'll give you more information and resources for each episode. Become New is so much more than just a video to watch. It's really a community that you can belong to. So we hope that you'll chime in the comments here below. We read those every day. You might want to consider joining our Facebook group. In fact, during this series, I'm going to post a video posing a question related to the content for each day. And I would love to hear your answer. So join that group to chime in and join the community. You can also find the links to our Instagram and X in the description in case you want to receive inspirational quotes and images throughout the week. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us who meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. So don't carry that burden alone. We would love to come alongside you and pray with you. You can text your request to the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Remember that the most important thing about your life is the person you become. We'll catch you next time.